views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Start the adventure. Live the dream. International living, exploring, investing, and retiring. Light on Living Abroad shines the spotlight on how life can be better with life abroad. We'll explore owning investment properties in emerging markets, how to manage those assets effectively to increase your wealth. You'll learn the important steps involved in buying, renting, and building overseas. With safety lifestyle lessons and guidance to where to enjoy the most beautiful scenic locations, you'll discover where your best international investment property is waiting for you. Light on Living Abroad takes you there. Welcome on board.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us on this edition of Light on Living Abroad. I'm your host, Lisa Berry. And as we build on the series of great adventure, travel, and invest, I'm happy to have Will Roadhouse back with me today, CEO and founder of Compass Group International, a number one real estate consulting firm in Central America. And Will provides offshore asset management portfolio services for high net worth clients seeking a better return and asset protection in emerging countries in Asia and Latin America. He's also a frequent flyer who loves traveling the world so much that he's created shows and podcasts all about the amazing places to live for just $1,000 a month. Well, today is an extra fun show simply because I've asked Will to share with us just how magical and festive Bangkok can be at Christmas time. Now, yes, their predominant religion is Buddhist. However, with more than like close to a million, between 500,000 and a million people all going over there spending their Christmas time in Thailand, they certainly put on a show. So as we continue to explore the culture and the opportunity of Bangkok, I'd like to welcome Will to today's show. Welcome, Will.
Hi, Lisa. Good evening. I think it's the afternoon over there. It's 2 a.m. here. And I just had a huge meal about an hour ago, and I got to spend some time looking at the supermoon that we have tonight.
Oh, you have the supermoon. Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was huge and gorgeous tonight.
And you guys got lots of skyline, the high sky rises and everything. So are you low today looking at the moon or high?
I'm high. I'm actually on the penthouse level of our building. And then just right above me is a kind of like a an observation deck and kind of an area you can, the residents can go on picnic. So I just kind of stood up there and had a couple glasses of wine and then just kind of hung out and checked out the moon. It was really nice.
Oh, you know what they say too is that the stars and the moon, everybody can just sit under them and feel just connected, just as one. And so, and just as we are right now. So thank you for staying up. Well, it doesn't sound like, it sounds like this is norm out there in Thailand, just to, in Bangkok, to be up late. Anyways, it just, it feels natural. You just had a big meal.
It is. I mean, Lisa, the thing about, the one thing I really, truly love about the Asian culture and the European culture is the fact that it's a very social culture, is that everybody eats late. Everybody is very sociable. They're always going out, meeting friends and doing stuff. It's very, very different than, let's say, the typical American culture where, you know, people eat dinner at 4 p.m. or 5 p.m. or 6 p.m. And they're usually, you know, homebodies. They stay at home in their big giant houses. Where in countries here, like in Thailand and Bangkok, we're always out doing stuff. And that's one of the things I love about this country, the city, is a sociability factor.
I was reading today that they like to say that in Thailand, they save face. And I love the particular, what that means exactly. Like, they don't even wear an angry face ever. They don't, you know, they're really careful of that. They're not always smiling, but never looking angry or judgmental or harsh.
Yes, and there is the positives and negatives about that. So you're very, very right. Ooh. And not a lot of people aware of that, so I'm glad you brought that up. Thailand, the culture itself, just like many Asian countries, has a face-saving type of mentality. And for those of you who don't know what that means, is basically what that means is that saving face means you don't want to be ridiculed, you don't want to be embarrassed. So what this means specifically in Thailand is that this is a culture where, unlike the European culture, let's say in France or the United or the culture in the United States, where if you have a disagreement with someone, Lisa, it's okay to raise your voice and yell at someone. Where here in Thailand, you can, it's a definite no-no. You cannot raise your voice and go off, especially if you're a foreigner. I mean, you may see other locals doing it to each other, but as a foreigner, it really is frowned upon. You cannot, let me give you an example, is that obviously Bangkok and throughout Thailand, we have tons of tourists that come here. And just like any tourist country, sometimes people get a bit off. They get overcharged or something like that, or they buy something that wasn't up to their expectations. So they'll go and try to return it or try to get a refund. Where, you know, if you're in the United States and you can't get a refund, you're going to sit there and you're going to argue with the vendor. Where in Thailand, you just have to suck it up and take it as a lesson learned if they're not going to give you a refund, because yelling at the person is going to make things worse. And especially you're a foreigner, then everyone else is going to watch you. So if you look at a lot of the, let's say, hostility towards foreigners, where some foreigners have gotten beaten up, is because they've disrespected a local by yelling at them and poking at them and being very aggressive at them. Bully, and it's something that is very frowned upon. You can't do that here.
But I actually really kind of like that, because just knowing, you know, I think that that's a helpful thing when you're just on a health matter, right? When we do get angry and we are allowed to have our tempers raised, perhaps, and stuff, it actually changes the an entire chemistry is changed in our bodies, and that causes sicknesses and illnesses and stress and everything. So here we go. We have these lovely culture who's on purpose recognizing that, hey, we just want to be happy. We want our best. We want to be connected and share in the fun and have beautiful markets and, you know, hope that everybody does love the products that they're making, because they do make so many things and they're colorful and beautiful. And I think it's actually a rather healthy position to take. So I was really happy to learn that. Thank you for expanding on that. And speaking of this beautiful, happy, wonderful time, so as I mentioned, they don't specifically even celebrate Christmas as the culture that we do, but they say, hey, you know what? A lot of people love it and they're visiting us. Why don't we celebrate with them? And they really put on a show.
They do. Here in Thailand, especially in Bangkok, we have such a strong Western influence. And the Western influence really influences all the trends around the world, whether it's in Asia, Europe, Latin America. The Western culture or the Western trend is very, very strong. And one of them is Christmas. And the reason behind that is obviously shopping, but and the amount of expats and tourists that visit these countries. But the main thing is how gorgeous Christmas time can be. So for an example, during Christmas time, if you look at Canada, United States, and you go to malls, yes, you know, you have some decorations, you have a big fake tree. And here in Bangkok, it's so surprising because the whole place is lit up. So let me give you an example. So Central World, which is like the fifth or sixth largest mall in the world, which is located on Sukhumvit in Ratchaprasong, which is our very, very expensive part of Thailand. This mall, right in front of it, has like lit polar bears and toy soldiers. And there's like a five or six story fake Christmas tree that is lit every single year right in front of the mall. It is huge and it's gorgeous.
Oh, wow. And that is magical. And so, and that's even
really
when you're
is.
Surrounded. When you're surrounded by that, funny enough, you know what? I love this, that this happened. There was no reason for you to talk about the moon and no reason for me to bring up the moon, but I actually have a moon question. I have read that there's something called the Christmas Full Moon Party, and I'm going to really destroy this name, and it's on an island of Koh Phangan. Could be really wrong.
Koh Phangan. Coco.
Oh, there we go. Okay, thank you. And 30,000 travelers will come to meet on the beach during this Christmas full moon party. And the best part that I read about it, they build a sand snowman.
Yes, they do. It's very strange because the first time I came to Thailand, it was actually I arrived actually on New Year's Eve with my friends Bonzai and Shelley. And so the Christmas, you know, the Christmas spirit is definitely here for the whole month of December and the month of January. And it's very strangely so because, you know, especially you coming from Canada and it's cold during the summer months and January months. Well, imagine walking around Bangkok and there's lit Christmas trees, polar bears, Santa Claus, candy canes everywhere, and you're wearing tank top and shorts.
Right.
So it's really strange. And then in addition to that is I haven't done the full moon parties, and here is the reason why, is that the full moon parties, yes, the Christmas is the biggest one, but these happen frequently, is that the problem with full moon parties is that, yes, it is fun, but the problem is the amount of drugs that's in these full moon parties and how foreigners get entrapped. So let me give an example. And this is a tidbit for any foreigner out there. So the full moon parties are obviously very big with the millennials. It's young, you know, you're basically, it's like an outdoor rave, you know, they're playing electronic music, there's DJs. But then you have locals, not just locals, but expats that live there from another country that are selling you drinks that has shrooms in it and all sorts of other types of drugs. And the problem with that, Lisa, is that drugs is a definite no-no in Thailand. I mean, It's not like the United States and Canada where you need a slap on the wrist. If you're a foreigner and you're caught with drugs, you're going to prison. And we call it the Bangkok Hilton. It's one of the worst prisons in the world, that you're going to sit in a cell that's really made for about 30 to 40 people, and it'll cram about 150 people in there, and people literally sleep on top of each other. So what I tell people is, come here to Thailand to enjoy the scenery, to enjoy the food, to immerse yourself into the culture. But if you are a person that loves to dabble in drugs, stay in your own country. And, you know, do that stuff in a Western countries like United States or Canada or UK, where it may be. But don't come to Asia because you're just asking for trouble.
You know what? I really appreciate you being so open to share this, because one of my questions I was going to ask, and I didn't even know it was going to be about culture, really, was I was going to say, because you know what? This show, we really like to talk about the benefits of investing. And if somebody really is, they're going to purchase property and either live there or rent to people that they care about, then understanding the culture and the laws is very important. And I love that you're sharing this, because now we're getting crystal clear on the environment and the experience people will have when they come there. And I really appreciate you sharing that, because it was very open and honest, because I didn't even know what I was bringing up about the Christmas full moon party. And so in saying all that, one of my questions was going to be, what would be the biggest mistake or fear or worry somebody could do in buying an investment property, and then how could they correct it? And I think you just kind of helped me to understand the biggest, maybe the worst thing they could make is not understanding the laws and stuff, and that so that they should know. But is there another one that maybe they should perhaps know? So I do want to thank you for that.
There is, but let me back up and let me just kind of talk about why investors or second homeowners should buy real estate in Thailand, and why it's so important. The main thing is that, as I mentioned to clients and different podcasts and different radio shows like yourself, is that diversifying your assets doesn't mean buying two different types of stocks. Like some people think diversifying their assets is, okay, well, I'm going to buy some Apple stock, and then I'm going to diversify it with some GE stock, and then I'm going to diversify with some financial stock like buying Wells Fargo. That's not true diversification. Then some people think that, okay, well, I'm going to diversify my investments with buying equities, which is stocks, and then I'm also going to buy maybe some cryptocurrency, or I'm going to buy some commodities like buying gold or buying silver. That's diversification, but it's not true diversification. Investing in Thailand is true diversification because you're investing in a top emerging country in the world Thailand is rapidly growing, especially in Bangkok. And in addition to that is you're investing into the economy. So when I, you know, I'm not very big on cryptocurrency. Yes, a lot of people are making lots of stupid money by doing so. But the one thing I don't like, and this comes from my financial background, and every single hedge fund manager from, you know, managers like Warren Buffett to Jamie Dimon will say the same exact thing. Cryptocurrency like Bitcoin, when you're investing into currency like the U.S. dollar, you're investing into the U.S. economy. When you're buying, you know, Canadian dollar, you're investing to the Canadian economy. When you're buying yen, you're investing also on me. But when you're buying Bitcoin or you're buying Ethereum, you're buying all these other cryptocurrencies, you're not investing into anything. You're investing basically in speculation. And it's, and I call it the greater fool theory, which is who's the greater fool that's going to pay $10,000, $12,000 for one Bitcoin? And there's so much propaganda behind it, but you're not investing into any type of economy. So when you're buying Thai real estate, what you're doing is you're investing into the bot and you're investing into the Thai economy. So why would you want to invest in the Thai economy? Number one is that when I tell people to come here and research it yourself, you will see how big of a melting pot Bangkok is. In addition to that is the sheer location, is that I believe Bangkok will become the next Singapore in 10, 15, or 20 years. And if you look at Singapore, what's happened to it in 10 years, 10 years ago, you could buy a two-bedroom condo for a couple hundred thousand dollars. That same exact condo, two-bedroom condo in Singapore is about $1 million because Singapore has become a tech hub, where I believe Bangkok is going to become a next hub. So buying real estate in Thailand is not just inexpensive, but the legalities part of it is that, Lisa, as long as you're buying in a building like a condominium complex like mine, where 51% ownership is allotted for foreign owners, you're totally, it's a soundproof investment. You own title legally like you own a home in the United States or you own a home in Canada. In addition to that is all the pros of investing in Thailand is, number one, the price point is low. Number two, the association dues is low. We talked about that in the past. Association dues are between $30 to $40 to $50 a month, as opposed to $500 to $1,000 a month, or the same equivalent in the United States. And then in addition to that, another pro is future appreciation, is that if you're buying in Canada, you're buying in the United States, you're like you're buying in New York, or you're buying in LA County, Orange County, or you're buying in Manning, you're buying the top of the market. Where Thailand, we're just scratching the surface, Lisa, because you know who's coming? The Chinese are coming. Now the Indians are coming, because India is just right across the ocean from us. And now they're coming by the boatloads. And the Chinese and the Indians is the fastest growing economies in the world, with the fastest amount of multimillionaires and billionaires being created than anywhere else in the world. Lisa, did you know there's one new billionaire being created in China every single week?
Okay, that's no, and you're wealth. Freaking me out. This is amazing. And I like now I have like five questions. But okay, you touched on three major things I do want to talk about. And I don't want to leave because I want to talk more about the Chinese market because I find that fascinating. Did you say one new billionaire every week or millionaire?
Yes, one new billionaire is created in China every single week.
Okay, and I want it now. I'm going to backtrack because you said something now. You something about 51%. Now I read something about 49% in every other countries except for Bangkok. You can do the 51. Can you explain that percentage of ownership again?
So what that means is that in Thailand, foreigners can only own a specific type of real estate. So I'll tell you the ones we can't own. We can't own single family homes. We can't own townhomes. We can't own raw land. And there are certain older buildings that we can't own in. And then there are people to say, yes, you can. You can own this. Yes, you can own it, Lisa. But it basically, you create a corporation. And that corporation, you only own 49% of that corporation. And 51% is owned by Thai National.
Oh, ah, so, that's clarity for me.
Okay. You know, even though there has been some problems in the past, there's more people that have less problems. But the thing is, I don't like that. I want to own property and I want to mm-hmm. buy property for my clients in their portfolio that they own 100%. So what Thailand has done is that there are certain new buildings, high-rise buildings, that have allotted within the building that 59% of the units can be considered foreigner-owned. That means that you and me can buy in these buildings and we own 100% of that condominium. Not 41%, not 49%, 100%.
You know, and that just goes again to show that they are, they want, they would love, they're welcoming foreigners to come in and invest in their economy. They have said, you know, we're going to make some adjustments. We're going to figure out what works for us, but they're not giving everything away. They're not, you know, I love that there's like quite a bit of, it sounds like quite a bit of thought and negotiation of figuring this out, what they've done. And to have to allocate 59% of a certain kind of units or buildings that you can own, I feel like that's, like, hey, come on into our pool. Let's go. You can swim together, you know, and make some money.
Yes. And here's the other thing, too, Lisa, that people need to know. So of the 51% that is allotted for foreign ownership, some people will ask. They're like, well, why is the same exact unit that's Thai-owned is like 10% or 15% cheaper? Well, that's just the way it is. That's just the benefit of being a Thai. You can go to the same exact buildings and you can buy stuff 10 to 15% cheaper. And that's just a cost as a foreigner. Yes, we pay a little bit more of a premium, but still, Lisa, the condo that I live in right now, which is 2 bedrooms, I'm in a killer location. The same exact condo in LA would be $600,000 to $700,000. Same if it were in Miami. If it were in New York, it'd be over $1 million because of the location. But the thing is that this type of condo that I own, you know, it could be purchased for $150,000, $200,000, $300,000, which is still a fraction of what it is in the States or in Canada or in the UK.
Right. And now, actually, you just shared, thank you for sharing that with all of us, that you've got a 2-bedroom condo that's like full. I was just kind of, you know, poking around on the internet wondering, okay, so it is Christmas. People are traveling to Thailand. How much could they rent, you know, a place for? So I looked at all the areas. Now, I was amazed, honestly. Well, this is insane. On average, between $21 and $30 a night, somebody could rent a place. Now, your kind of a place, a 2-bedroom thing, was up, you know, a whopping $63 to $91, you know. However, as you mentioned earlier, with our, this is so affordable. And even with the monthly fees, what'd you say, $30 to $40, maybe $50 max a month, if somebody like yourself were to rent out their condo, even just at Christmas time, they'd almost make their monies for like a couple months of covering those fees.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, all of the properties that we rent out, which, and here's the great thing, Lisa, it's so hard for me to understand. It's like you look at a country like Thailand. It's a third world country, Lisa. Mm-hmm. But why is it that our transportation system is so much far superior? Our public transportation system is far mm-hmm. superior than any Western country. And then also the way they do business in condominiums is way superior than any Western country. So here in Thailand, all the new buildings, they have on-site property management. That means that I don't have to go and search for a property manager because property managers are so iffy. You go through 3 or 4 of them before you find a good one. If I just go downstairs, if I want to rent out my property for, you know, next 3 to 6 months or a year, I can just go downstairs and do that. And they take care of that for me. Here they call the property managers they call them juristics. So I just go down and there's usually 2 or 3 people at the office. And I'll say, okay, I'm going to be gone and I want to rent my condo for 9 months. And they'll find a renter for me. And I don't have to go anywhere else. We're in the United States, Lisa. You know, unless you live in a condo hotel, you have to go actively searching for a property manager. You don't have to do that in Thailand.
Yeah. It's so much legwork and so much thing. Now, I do want to come back just because I don't want to wrap up without leaving myself hanging and everybody else hanging. I do want to talk about, you mentioned about the Chinese market. Now, I read that and I thought, oh my gosh, they're all, like you said, in boatloads, they're coming over. They recognize this to be an opportunity. Why, first of all, why are they having so many billionaires being created? And clearly, and I guess I kind of know why, but why are they all coming to Bangkok?
Well, let me ask you one question, Lisa. when you look around your house, would you agree with me that 90 to 99% of your household goods is made in China?
Ah, yes. That's so true. Yes.
There you go. Lisa, the reason why there are so many multimillionaires and billionaires being created in not just China, but India and other parts of Asia is because Canadians, Americans, and people in the UK are not going to work at these low wages doing manual labor, like assembling iPhones or assembling an Android phone or assembling your new Google Dot or, I mean, your Amazon Dot, you know, AI assistant. But they're going to do that in China. They're going to do that in India, Indonesia, Malaysia, Thailand. Americans aren't going to do that. So that's why, as long as consumerism continues to grow, and Lisa, just saw the numbers for Black Friday over Thanksgiving. These are record-breaking numbers. It's amazing how many billions of dollars that people spent prior to Black Friday and then on Black Friday. Yes. And this last Cyber Monday after Thanksgiving was the biggest it's ever been. So unless the consumer in these rich countries like in North America and Europe say, I'm not gonna buy any more crap, China is going to continue to be rich. Richer than any other country in the world.
Yeah, isn't that something? You know, and I did notice that I've never even heard of Cyber Monday's a new thing, but then we had Thanksgiving Tuesday, but then we had Thanks Tuesday, and then Thanks Week. So you are so right. Thank you for sharing that about, because I was just wondering, like, who is going there and why are they going there? Now, as we wrap up, I want to just make sure that everybody does come back for our next show. And I'll tell you why, because, well, I'm going to ask you on our next show to really walk us through the steps of somebody. Cause like, I understand that you work with people of high profile, the net value is really high. But what if somebody was to say, you know what? I think I want this. I think I want to do this. Like, they're falling in love with Bangkok through you and all your stories. And so next show, let's walk through that and how that whole process looks and starts and what their portfolio, like what it really does to their portfolio. But because we are on the Christmas note and I just can't bear to end the show without it, I've heard about the fairy lights. Now they weren't put up for Christmas specifically, but they certainly use them and everything. Have you been to the fairy lights?
I haven't done that yet. I've just seen the pictures and they look amazing, especially when I do it in northern Thailand. I plan to do it one of these days.
See, you've been there all this time and you still have lots of stuff to still see and do and experience. So this is good. And oh, and my other question was, have you spent Christmas in, other than that first time that you and I learned that Bangkok's in Thailand's New Year's actually in April, but have you spent Christmas In Thailand?
I have not. I'm usually here after Christmas.
Oh, okay. They still have it all sparkled up and ready to go. They go, well, I just so appreciate
even Super Bowl. Even Super Bowl Sunday is big.
What? Okay, well, I'm going then because you know I'm a football fan.
Yes, I know. I've done the Super Bowl Sunday. I know we're out of time, but to let everyone know, Super Bowl Sunday is big. Usually it's done early in the morning. The bars open up to do the whole nine yards. So you can watch Super Bowl in Thailand.
Well, I did love that you used a yardage reference there. So, okay, well, thank you so much. Well, I'm looking forward to the next episode. As I said, everybody, you'll want to hear this if you're thinking or considering about investing in having a true diversified portfolio. So any questions in the meantime, listeners, please email me at lisa@lightonliving.com. And I will pass these questions along to Will. And Will, thanks so much. And we'll see you next episode.